You're listening to The Stone Tapes with Sam Stone, David J. Howe, Patricia H. Ash, George Mann and Robin Pierce. A show which sheds a little slice of geek sunshine into the ether.
To the 38th edition of the Stone Tapes, and what a great way to start our very, very summery weather. And I'm feeling very summery at the moment, which is no surprise. And you might notice that some of the music we play today is a little bit reflective of that.
So is this a summery edition? Does it mean it has to be like really
edition.
Short?
That's right.
We have to abbreviate it all the way through.
Absolutely. But first, joining us in in the studio is David J. Howe.
Hello.
And our producer Alex Lefchuk's here.
Hello.
We're going to let him speak today. And on the phone at the moment, Patricia H. Ash.
Hiya.
Hi, hello. Patricia. And joining us very shortly, after Patricia, will be Robin Pierce.
Yeah.
And some of the gang of the Stone.
Unfortunately, George Mann is on his way to San Diego.
He is. San Diego Comic Con.
Yes. Yeah, so hopefully he'll be able to tell us all about that next time.
On his return. Yes.
Next time.
Exciting stuff. Yes. So, David, in this month...
In this month... Oh, the delights we have for you in this month. Are you ready for this then, Patricia?
I am.
Are you ready, Sam?
I am.
Are you ready, Alex? Okay. There's a little bit of a clue. So, how many years ago do you think the James Bond film Live and Let Die was released?
Oh, I've got to think, because it's... Think about how it looks date-wise.
Yeah.
60s?
Patricia, any ideas?
I don't know.
No, see, we're not Bondians here, are we? Alex will have our guts for garters. It was 1973.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's a little bit early.
6th of July, 1973, so it's 45 years old.
Good grief.
The release of this film.
Of course, that was the one with Roger Moore, and he's no longer with us, sadly, is he?
Correct. Oh, Roger Moore. True. I love Live and Let Die. I think it's a fantastic Bond film. Okay, my next anniversary. 80 years ago, a comic first went on sale. Any ideas, Patricia?
80 years. Ooh.
A kid's comic.
Kids comic, 80 years ago.
Oh,
you need to see, this is Robin's area.
This is Robin's area. We should be asking Robin this one. Okay, I'll put you out of your misery. It was the Beano.
Oh, wow. 80 years.
80 years. The Beano has been owned.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Did you ever get that one, Patricia? Did you ever get Beano?
No, I don't think I did.
We're asking the wrong person.
Yeah,
so.
I used to get the Beano.
Okay, you might get this one then, Patricia. Another anniversary. How many years ago, Patricia, did Lewis Carroll tell Alice Liddell a story?
About 100.
Sam?
I remember going to EasterCon and we did an anniversary, but I can't remember what.
Right.
Might have been 140 odd years.
This is the answer to a quiz question that I had recently, and I have no idea I know I got the quiz question wrong.
Okay, so this year is the 156th anniversary.
Wow.
It was the 4th of July, 1862, that Lewis Carroll had a chat with Alice Liddell. And would you believe, 3 years later, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland was published in 1865, July 1865, so 153 years ago.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it?
Alice's Adventures in Wonderland was published. Incredible, and we're still reading it today.
Yeah, and
we're still reading it today.
It doesn't feel that old or dated, does it, really?
It really doesn't. Wow. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so my final anniversary for this edition. How many years ago was Penguin Books established? Penguin Books.
Oh, they must have been around
for a long
time.
The old paperbacks, the mass market paperbacks.
Wow.
How many years?
They've been around forever.
They have.
At least 100.
Sam?
I would say probably somewhere maybe 90.
90. Do you know, Alex?
Penguin Books.
I've seen the script. I shouldn't be able to say anything now.
Oh, no. I've seen the script. Okay, it's 83 years.
Wow.
83 years.
I would have thought longer.
So it was Alan Lane founded Penguin Books to publish the first mass market paperbacks in Britain in 1935.
You'll have to look up at what that paperback was, the very first one. That would be very interesting, wouldn't
paperback.
It?
If our listener could maybe drop us an email and let us know what was the very first Penguin Books paperback, that would be most appreciated. And those, Sam, are my events for this month.
Mm, fantastic. In that case, we're going to pop over to Patricia's corner now. Patricia.
She's sitting in her corner
now.
You are sitting in your corner.
She's in her corner.
I am indeed sitting in my corner.
So you're not on a bus this time.
No.
As the listener knows, I'm
sitting in my corner, surrounded by foster kittens.
Oh, yes, of course.
Your kittens were adorable.
How are they doing?
They're doing really well. One's got a bit of a cold, but the other ones are playful, and my house is a disaster. But it is
That's how it is.
Have you given up crocheting?
Balls of wool are lethal.
Keep hiding my hook.
Balls of wool, yes.
So, what are you going to be reviewing for us this month?
Well, in Texas, it is too hot to go outside. So what I've been doing is staying inside and playing board games.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm going to review you a board game.
Oh, okay. Fascinating.
Is this on your own or with family? Or with the kittens?
Well, this is with friends. The kittens, there are too many small pieces. I don't think they would understand the rules of this game.
The rules are, they're mine. I'm going to take them.
The rules are, oh, are you playing with this? Let me take it from
Let
you and
take
sit
that.
On it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
I played last weekend with some friends something called Tales of the Arabian Nights.
Ooh.
And it was a lot of fun.
I'm already intrigued by the name.
What the game is that you are various characters from the 1001 Tales of the Arabian Nights, and you have a map, and you have particular goals and quests, like go to several cities and seek knowledge. That was mine. I didn't do it, unfortunately. It's not a game that you play particularly to win, because like the characters in the 1001 Tales, there's a lot of chance and fate that can come in and change what you were planning to do. So it's a lot of fun, and it's a different adventure each time because there are so many options. It does make it a little bit complicated to understand the rules, but by the end of the game, I was getting it. I knew what I was doing. I was just... Fate intervened, and I did not win, but I had a fantastic time.
So how is it randomized? Is it like dice, or is it cards, or how does it progress?
Both. It is both die and cards. There's a big, thick book. So what you do is you move around the board, and when you land on a space, you draw an encounter card, which tells you what sort of a monster or event you are encountering.
Oh, fun.
And then you roll, you have a set of reactions, and you pick what you're going to do, and then you roll a die, or two dice, sometimes, it depends, and add a couple of other numbers on the board, depending on how close you are to winning, and what sort of a thing is affecting you. Because these things, the encounters have results that are maybe not great sometimes. Like if you encounter a band of bandits, you may end up with a card that says wounded, and it gives you certain limitations.
Ah, I see.
So it sounds a little bit Dungeons and Dragons-y, only perhaps with cards.
A little bit,
yeah.
More structured with a board. There are more little pieces in Dungeons and Dragons. You don't really need much besides the books and some dice to play Dungeons and Dragons. But this one, you've got a game board, and you've got little pieces, and you've got...
So I want to draw the flying carpet card, which sort of takes me away to the City of Emeralds, and where I can be very happy with the princess.
The Emerald City.
The Emerald City.
I think we're a bit confused about the Arabian Nights.
Yes, that's where I want to be, with a small dog called Toto. That may be something completely different.
Well, it's very interesting.
So how long did the game last then? Is it like a 300-hour like Monopoly type thing, or are we kind of like Fast and Furious?
It's a good 3 hours, I would say.
Wow.
So it's an afternoon.
Yeah.
An afternoon with some friends in a nice air conditioned apartment.
Yeah, with some wine.
Yes, we had some wine.
Or beer or whatever or water. Or Texan Coke,
water,
or whatever your
really
whatever
hot
drink
beer.
Is it really hot there?
It's been pretty hot here.
Yeah, it's over 100 degrees Fahrenheit today, and it was yesterday, and will be tomorrow.
Ouch! So, what would you give this little game out of 10? Then, what's the scores on the doors?
I would say 8 out of 10. There were a lot of moving parts, and the rules weren't easy to understand, but the gameplay was so much fun that it didn't matter that I didn't know what I was doing.
Well, that's
sometimes
good.
That's part of the fun, not knowing what you're doing.
And of course, the key question, would you play it again?
Absolutely. And it would be a completely different game.
Oh, wow. Brilliant.
Mm. Oh, thank you so much, Patricia. And now this, Only You, Little Mix.
Dancing with your silhouette in the places that we've been. trying to find you in the moon. Paris never feels the same when the streets are calling your name. Ooh, so I hide in crowded rooms and I follow. Somewhere down the line we went and lost it. One break at a time we watched it fall. I'm broken here tonight, I'm dying. No one else can fix me, only you, only you.
As we say goodbye to Patricia, we welcome Robin. Hello, Robin. How's the view from the castle today?
The view from the castle is uninterrupted by rain, but I hear coughing.
You've got rain?
Uninterrupted by rain. Yes, you did hear coughing.
Yes,
David,
I coughed. I'm sorry.
David,
I'm
forgot.
Sorry.
I forgot. Scott, he was on the radio.
I'm on the radio. I'm sorry. I'm going to go to my naughty corner now. So while you talk to Robin.
Now.
I'm just going to go away now. I'm going away now.
That'll do. You can stay there for the moment. Hello, Robin.
Hello there.
So, it's not sunny in Wales at the moment, then? It's raining?
No. It's uninterrupted.
Oh, uninterrupted. I'm sorry. I misheard you.
We've had about a six-week heat wave.
Yeah, so have we.
We are gasping over here.
It's very, very hot and quite a surprise because we don't normally do this well in summer, do we? Although, of course, the children break up this week from school, so it's very likely that the rain's going to come in.
Oh, it will rain then. But this gives me the perfect excuse to go and hide from the sunshine and the threat of melanoma and go and watch as many films as I can.
Yep, I'd be...
Which is good.
I'm on the same camp as you there because
I enjoy
too.
The air conditioning.
Absolutely. So, have you got air conditioning in your house? Oh, my word.
No, in the cinema, which is practically my second home these days.
Ah, well, so in that case, coming round to that, what have you been watching this week?
Well, actually, this week alone, I have seen Adrift, Lady on a Shipwreck Boat Talks to Herself for about an hour and a half, Tag, People Play Tick for about 30 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Sicario 2. Which was an absolute blockbuster of a film and worthy of an Oscar. Skyscraper, Dwayne Johnson in basically Die Hard meets The Towering Inferno. But those are not what I'm going to be talking about. Mm. Last night, I saw a film that plays to two of my obsessions, superheroes and animation. Two things I never grew out of. You know, at this point in my life, it looks unlikely that I will. Incredibles 2.
And?
You guys fans of The Incredibles?
Yeah, we saw the first one, didn't we? It was great fun. Yeah, great fun.
Well, this is a rarity. Incredibles 2 is a sequel that I've been waiting for a very, very long time. 14 years, to be precise.
Yes, because it was out. It's an old film now, isn't it?
And I'm happy to tell you guys that this is as perfect and satisfying a sequel as you will ever see. It's as good as Sicario 2. And it's well worth the 14-year wait. The Incredibles, the family, the Carr family, as we start, it's not long after the end of the first Incredibles movie, and they're in pursuit of the Underminer. Now, the Underminer is a criminal who uses a huge drilling vehicle to rob banks. He drills his way in. They save the day, but it's an absolute epic cost. The collateral and property damage is just huge, because they accidentally lose control of the drilling vehicle and destroy half the city. So, in order to compensate for this, the superhero relocation program that they've been on since the first film is cancelled, leaving our super family destitute and homeless. However, they get an offer from the owner of a telecommunications corporation who wants to home them and regain the public trust because he's a huge superhero fan. So far, so good. And what he wants to do is to set up some incidents where the superheroes can start to regain the trust. And he chooses not Mr. Incredible, but his wife as the most likely face to gain the public trust. So this comes to Mr. Incredible's chagrin because it leaves him to be a stay-at-home dad, dealing with a mischievous son with super speed, a teenage hormonal daughter, and a baby who's rapidly developing a whole range of superpowers, including phasing between dimensions, spontaneously combusting, turning into a rage monster, albeit tiny, one little tiny hole. Pure
fantastic.
Comedy gold. Everything's not what it seems. Trouble's never far away, because they get a villain called the Screen Slaver, who makes his presence felt using TV, phone, tablet screens to hypnotize and, you know, as his name suggests, enslave people to do his bidding. So, all in all, it's a fantastic mix of action, adventure, comedy, and with a lot of Pixar movies, it comes with a subtext. You know, people's reliance on their devices, the fact that we are easily distracted and hypnotized, looking at our phones and our tablets, not even looking where we're going.
True.
And, of course, the whole role reversal of the stay-at-home dad, where poor Mr. Incredible swears blind to his wife that everything is fine, but everything's falling apart rapidly. He even has to call the Samuel L. Jackson character Frozone in to help at one point. It's as fun a film as you'll see this summer, and I can't recommend it highly enough. Pixar is just going from strength to strength.
Well, what are you going to grade that one?
Because I just want to comment on that. I mean, when I saw The Incredibles, and I still can't believe it's 14 years ago. That's
shocking.
Ridiculous. I really enjoyed the film, but I didn't like the animation. I found it very unrealistic, and it's not limited to The Incredibles. I didn't...
Absolutely, it was unrealistic, but I saw The Incredibles, the bulky upper body on the characters, you know, the exaggerated bulky bulkiness of the upper body. To me, I thought they were just kind of paying homage to the Warner Brothers animation, you know, Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, because again,
where
I didn't
you think
like
yourself,
that.
His legs can't hold
and
it up.
For me, it goes way back, Robin. I mean, even back to things like Disney's Sword in the Stone, where the characters were quite surreal and sort of not realistic, as it were. I don't know. So I that was one problem I had with it. And in a way, it kind of spoilt it a bit for me.
I always thought it was a really fun story, actually.
Yeah,
I liked it.
But I enjoyed the story. And it's Dash, isn't it, is the kid.
That's right.
Dash is the kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't remember the original. Yeah.
The voices are back. It's Craig T. Nelson and Holly Hunter again. Mm-hmm. And it's such a good film. It's better than I was hoping for, to be honest with you.
Wow.
But to me, you know, Pixar haven't yet made a bad film. They've only got one misstep, as far as I'm concerned, and that would be Cars 2.
Right.
Yeah, I've not seen any of the Cars ones. No. They didn't appeal to me.
They take the lovable car story and they try and make a spy story. Mm. And, you know, it's just, no.
So, as far as Pixar goes, then, what out of 10 would you give this one?
I am giving this an ultra-rare 5.
Oh,
and it will be appearing in my top 10 movies of the year for starters.
Do you mean 5 out of 5? Or
yeah, absolutely.
So it's a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Or a 15 out of 15.
Oh, yeah, cool.
That'll do.
That's cool.
Well, that makes me very happy.
Mm, it does. It makes me happy too. And it might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
This is Fiona Moore of Caldor City, and you're listening to Sam Stone and David J. Howe on the Stone Tapes.
Oh, lovely to hear Fiona there.
What's Fiona doing there?
Well,
who let her in the office?
Obviously, that was Pharrell Williams, Happy. And any idea why I chose that one, Robin?
You're happy it's the end of term time and you can write full time for the next 6 weeks.
Yes. Absolutely. And also, it's Despicable Me 2 it was used on. A great scene after he's fallen in love with Lucy. So it's the theme fits completely into my feeling happy for summer. And also the fact that we're talking about animated films.
I love the Minions.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of animated films mostly, you know. David has to drag me kicking and screaming to watch.
Oh, no, not animated films as well.
I know, I'm a nightmare.
Animated films and black and white films?
Yeah, black and
what
white.
What about black and white animated films?
Oh, gosh, no chance.
No chance at all. Steamboat Willie and all of those
kind of classics of the genre. Oh, gosh, no, never. To be honest with you, though.
Steamboat Willie on disc, you know.
I do absolutely love the Despicable Me ones, and another one of my favourites is Up. Have you ever seen Up?
Of course.
Oh, I think it's a master of writing that.
It is.
Because in the first 10 minutes, you see an entire life pass, and you're crying. It reminds me actually of the first the Star Trek movie, the first reboot Star Trek movie. They did a similar technique. Where they introduced a character and then killed them off, being James T. Kirk's father.
Yeah.
And
Don't worry, he's coming back in the next Star Trek J.J. Abrams movie, cool. Back in time.
There you go.
But I was thinking, where can you go from there? The same with Up. It was like, well, you know, you've just killed off this old guy now. He's old now. And where's he going to go? What kind of life is he going to have left? And it's a great, I think it's a great
one. Well, there was a Facebook meme, wasn't there, that says that Up, in its first 10 minutes... told a better love story than Twilight did in four films.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I saw that. Yes, I did see that. I did see that, yes.
But you see, I've always loved animated films. I mean, you know, going back to, was Toy Story kind of the first of the sort of the modern-looking ones?
It was the first Pixar film.
Is that what you call animated, though? Well, I thought it was like...
Well, it's computer animated, is it? Not hand-drawn traditional.
Yes.
Now, if you want puppet animated, then you're looking at things like, Nightmare Before Christmas, and Corpse Bride.
Mm.
Team America, World Police,
thank you, Alex.
I haven't seen that one.
There's another animated kind of puppetry-type film.
Yes, marionettes. Gerry Anderson said it was the best homage to Thunderbirds he'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And a precursor to Donald Trump, I shall say no more.
I'm going to take the microphone away in a minute. Another one was Paranorman. Paranorman was like an animated.
Paranorman.
Yes. I've heard of that one.
Yes.
The only ones I ever really liked were the Disney ones, musical ones. And obviously, my little girl Lindsay was growing up watching those. I quite enjoyed them at those times, and I loved the music. As soon as they stopped having music...
Hotel Transylvania.
Oh, yes, that's one. As soon as we stopped having music, I didn't like them as much anymore. They weren't as much fun.
Scooby-Doo the movie.
But at least they're going back to that now, having done Frozen and things. But
yes,
we're talking about this type of film. And what about Inside Out? Anybody seen that one?
Oh, of course, yes.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Inside Out. I thought it was a very clever film. I mean, as Robin mentioned earlier, these kinds of films, they often have a subtext, they often have a story and a meaning and stuff. Inside Out, I think it just sort of took that to another stage, really, another level of actually getting you to think a little bit about emotions and feelings and how this works. But it was done with sort of a very light touch and a lot of humour, which I really liked in that film. I love the idea of memories as like marbles that you kind of dispose of, and you can corrupt memories, and there's a lot of thought went into that film.
Now, David, you watched that first on a plane trip, didn't you? And then
I did.
I bought you the DVD, and then he had to nag me to watch it with him again. I didn't want to watch it. There's a pattern here, because he always forces me to watch them, and I absolutely loved it in the end. Going back a few years, do you remember Igor?
Have you seen Igor, Robin?
No, I haven't.
That's one of my favourites. I've rewatched that this week, actually, and it is Such fun. I mean, obviously, I would like that one because it's got an Igor in it.
It's worth digging out.
Frankensteinian type characters that are inventing things.
I've never heard of that one.
Sort of a Vincent Price-ian kind of villain.
John Cleese is one of the voices in it.
That's a really good Tim Burton one.
Frankenweenie we've not seen.
I think you tried to get me to watch that. I was like, no.
You wouldn't watch it.
It's black and white.
It was in black and white. That was it.
That was why.
An old universal horror film.
Angry Birds.
Angry Birds.
Sausage Party.
Megamind, anybody?
Megamind I quite enjoyed, yeah.
Yes, that was
I enjoyed that more than Despicable Me.
Really?
I did.
Oh.
I did.
I love Despicable Me. I mean, back to Despicable Me. I think Gru is just an amazing character, and the little kids just crack me up.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I mean, all around the house, whenever anything gets broken, we always say, "They go, somebody broke that."
That's true. It's in my mind. I was just about to say
that's
that.
What we always do. That somebody broke that.
And I'd like to make some toast. Love it.
Oh,
there's
dear.
Some great lines, some great writing in that one. I'm just trying to think of some others that I have liked over the years.
Did you see the previous Pixar one, Coco?
No.
No. Not heard of that one, even.
Steeped in Mexican traditions, their Day of the Dead celebration.
Oh, interesting.
It's actually quite dark.
Coco.
But immaculately animated.
And
there are some good songs in it. Very, very colourful. It's well worth checking out. But it's a very hard film for me to try and explain to you on any level, given the time.
Just watch it, in other words.
Yeah, just watch it.
Just watch it, yeah.
Just watch it. No, there's such a long tradition of animation in the films, though, in the movies. Obviously, we've mentioned a few early ones there. But, you know, you're forgetting things like, what, Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
That was
animated sequences.
And
all of that kind of thing as well.
And Mary Poppins, of course.
Mary Poppins.
Pete's Dragon.
Oh, Pete's Dragon.
Pete's Dragon.
Yes.
I love that film. I love the original one anyway. I've not seen the latest one. I'm just like, again, why?
There's been lots and lots of stuff like that. And again, it comes right. I mean, let's bring this right up to date. I mean, a series we watched recently that we loved was Happy.
Yes.
Which is just brilliant. I think it's on Netflix. Other streaming companies are available.
They've only done one season at the moment.
Yeah. It's absolutely brilliant. And it's kind of like a very gritty kind of investigation, kind of with a down-and-out detective. But there's an imaginary kind of purple unicorn, which is an animated creature in the thing that only he can see. And this thing kind of plays out around this. It's just so original. I think it's Grant Morrison wrote the original comic series and stuff that it was based on. So, every level you get this kind of thing happening.
And again, I was sort of, oh, no, do
the
we really
Simpsons
want to watch...
with Spider-Ham. Spider-Ham.
I have watched Spider-Ham. The Simpsons, I must admit. I do know the Simpsons very well. Yes. What was the... there was another one we saw with Brendan Fraser.
Yes.
Fraser years ago.
It'll come
but
to
he
me.
Was a cartoonist.
He was a cartoonist.
And one of his characters comes to life.
Yes.
Because he gets hit on the head, really, and he's just in a coma and he doesn't know it, but...
Oh!
Yes, I can't remember the title offhand. You've blindsided us again,
I know,
Sam,
I know. You see,
one.
I do remember this. I quite like that as well, but then I like Brendan Fraser, so...
Yes.
That was a no-brainer.
George of the Jungle.
Absolutely. Yes, oh, it was, yes.
I remember that being shown originally, the animated series.
Oh, yes. Yes.
George.
And Tarzan.
That's right.
Thank you, Alex.
I am currently looking up Brendan Fraser.
Okay. Well, after we've listened to the man, we'll come back to you. I feel your head resting heavy on your single bed. I want to hear all about it. Get it all off your chest. Ooh. I feel the tears and you're not alone. No. When I hold you, well, I won't let go. Why? Should we care for what they're selling us anyway? We're so young, girl, and you know. You don't have to be there, babe. You don't have to be scared, babe. You don't need the plan
won't you listen to the man that's loving you? Your world keeps spinning and you can't jump off, but I will catch you if you fall. I can't tell you enough. I hate to hear that you're feeling low. I hate to hear that you won't come home. Oh, why should we care for what they're selling us anyway? We're so young, girl, and you know. You don't have to be there, babe. You don't have to be scared, babe. You don't need a plan of what you wanna do. Won't you listen to the man that's loving you? Come with me, ooh. Easy, easy, and a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9, 9, 9. You don't have to be there, babe. You don't have to be scared, babe. You don't need a plan of what you want to do. Won't you listen to the man that's loving you? You don't have to be there, babe. Don't have to be scared, baby. Don't need a plan of what you wanna do. Won't you listen to the man that's loving you? Whoa.
This is Fiona Moore of Caldor City, and you're listening to Sam Stone and David J. Howe on the Stone Tapes on Siren Radio.
Ah, we're back.
She hasn't left. She's
no,
still
she's
here.
Still here.
She's still here. Oh, that's odd.
So okay. I was just having a think while we were listening to the man there with George Ezra. I love his voice, but we were, again, this is another a song that makes me feel very summery for some reason. I don't know why. But I was thinking about the crossover as we were talking about Brendan Fraser. Did you find the name of that animation in your searches? Monkey Bone, that's
Monkey
the one.
Bone.
That's the one.
The one.
And I was also thinking of ones like Space Jam. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Did the same sort of thing where he Michael Jordan, wasn't it? He went down some. It was definitely one of these rabbit holes.
Who framed Roger Rabbit?
I was going to mention that. Well done. Well done, Alex. Mm. Yes, and who can forget the iconic character of Jessica in that one with Kathleen Turner?
She wasn't bad, she was just drawn that way.
Yeah, she was, that's right, I'm not bad, I'm just drawn that way. So what did you remember about Space Jam? I think I was quite little when I saw that, but I loved it. I thought it was bizarre, but...
I think it was the first time that we'd seen the original Warner Brothers cartoon characters of Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig and all those, actually interact with live people, because Walt Disney had been doing it since the 1940s, and I think the Fleischer Studios had been doing it since the 1930s, and it was just great to see the old crew back in irreverent life.
Yes.
And they had them back again for a film that Joe Dante directed, with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, and they were on a quest to get from one side of America to another. Oh, it's a bit like the Blues Brothers. With
I
Bugs Bunny.
Remember it, and I can't think either what it's called. I do recall it though. It was good. It was a good one. I mean,
why did I start this one? I can't remember the film.
This
name.
Is what happens, Robin, is you start a conversation.
We got distracted, but. Well, we'll talk about Jessica Rabbit again.
Oh, Jessica
since we've got three men here.
Was it a Looney Tunes movie, by any chance?
Oh,
the Looney Tunes
that
movie.
Was the one. Well done.
I was actually scanning my shelf here, thinking, where is it? Where are you?
Looney Tunes, that was the one. I mean, one of the things I thought, you know, about Space Jam, it was just such a big adventure, you know, and it was such fun for all ages. All people liked it. seemed to be one of
That's it with animation, though, isn't it? Walt Disney famously said that he never, ever made a children's movie. He made family films.
Hmm. And wasn't I Believe I Can Fly the theme of that one? Or am I getting mixed up?
That was LL Cool J, and it was a different line, I think, from Space Jam. But we could be right. It's Looney Tunes back in action, just in case you're wondering. Right. 2003 American live-action animated.
Was that the one that had the Daleks in?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And Robbie the Robot.
And Robbie the Robot, was it?
And the Batmobile.
And the kitchen sink as
there
well.
There you go. Apparently so.
I mean, when I first saw Who Framed Roger Rabbit, I loved the fact that it was, a character that, like Bob Hoskins, wasn't it, that we'd seen in very serious films. Was he in Mona Lisa before
yes, he
that?
Was.
He was. And then he's suddenly in this, suddenly in this role that, quite a character, really, a detective that was... was he a failing detective? I can't quite remember.
I think he was a kind of like a down-and-out detective.
He was a down-and-out, and his brother had died as a result of an accident by the Toons in Toontown.
That's right.
They dropped an anvil or a piano on his head, didn't they?
Absolutely, I remember.
You see, if I'd known we were going to talk about Roger Rabbit, you know, some of my friends actually worked on it.
Oh.
So, you know, we could have had some people on the phone, but...
well, maybe we need to revisit it, watch it again,
maybe we
so that we all know what we're talking
about.
Do this
as the film of the month for 1 month or something.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
So, I thought this was a rehearsal.
This is a rehearsal, yes. So
any excuse to watch that film again.
Yes. No, it's a great film. It's a great film. And with, old Doc off of Back to the Future at the end, being the villain and all that kind of stuff. It's fantastic.
Judge Doom.
Terrific film. Wow.
We seem to have a trailer for Chicken Little on the screen here at the moment. This is a bit random. This is great radio. We sit and we watch videos.
I mean, I'm interested
and
to think.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Oh,
so
that's
many.
The
cloudy
one.
With a chance
now, that's
of
one
meatballs.
That David's been. I'm going, no.
I think I've enjoyed
I don't
that
want
one.
To watch that.
I watched that ages ago. I quite enjoyed it.
I don't
it.
Want to watch that. I'm interested to hear what you guys think of the Wallace and Gromit type of franchise, then. Oh, yes, you can see.
I love Nick Park and the studios and the kind of the animation and stuff that he manages to do. I think he's very, very clever. I loved the shorts he did, the where they dubbed the Vox Pops over the animals talking. I thought that was very clever.
Yeah.
I loved all the Wallace and Gromits. I thought they were very, very
Shaun
clever.
The Sheep.
Shaun the Sheep, yes.
Caveman.
It's a voice from the
It was very bizarre.
Distance,
yes. I knew people who had handbags that were Shaun the
Sheep. Shaun the Sheep handbag. No, I thought he was brilliant. And I thought the amount of character he managed to get into those, clay models was brilliant. Because when I was a wee nipper, I made clay animation films in the back room with a Super 8 camera that my dad had. And I used to buy the films and stuff and, literally two clicks and move it and two clicks and move it. And
like
two
Wallace
clicks.
O'Brien and stop motion.
That's it. Ray Harryhausen. And they all started the same way. So I used to do that. So I know how hard it is to do it and to actually get it right. And you've got to be such an artiste. And I think he did it tremendously.
What about you, Robin? Good. What's your thoughts on Wallace and Gromit?
I like them. Yeah. I do like them, but I haven't seen the early Man film, the last one they had out. Somehow I just didn't fancy it from the trailer.
No, I've not seen any recently. I've not. I think they're quite fun. I wasn't sure about the animation myself at first when I first watched them. But yeah, I agree with you about that, David. That they kind of grow on you. And I think is it Peter Salis that's the
Peter Salis.
He's great actually. He's very good.
Yes.
The incantations I read run past my eyes. They weigh down my tongue as I speak. I visualize. You are afraid.
And we're ending our musical part of the show with Lindsay Gold. And we started with Lindsay Gold because we could. And the first one was Through June, which I didn't introduce or even back intro, but I thought I'd tell you now. And, of course, Strange Beauty is the theme tune for The White Witch of Devil's End, which is Doctor Who spin-off. And I thought that it also, those songs, as you know, with all of the songs that we've been playing today, all remind me in some way of summer, make me feel very summery. And so I enjoyed listening to that. And now we're going to go over to David for his film of the month.
Fantastic. So this month we've got a film. It's called Siren, but this is a 2013 film. There seem to be about 300 films
called Siren. And not the award-winning radio station.
Not the award-winning radio station. It's Siren on Siren. This is what we're talking about here. Now, I'd never heard of this film, and Sam found it on one of the streaming services. And it's a fascinating little film. It's an independent film, so not a tremendous amount of money, but they make the most of a really beautiful location and a couple of great central performances from Vanessa Shaw and Robert Kaczynski, who play Lee and Guy. Now, the basic idea of the film, Siren, as you might expect, is about mermaids, but no, this is not about mermaids. The idea here is that Vanessa Shaw plays Lee, who is a recluse because she's got something wrong with her. And what she's got wrong with her is that she secretes like pheromones, something in her blood secretes pheromones, which makes every man who sees her see her as the woman of their dreams. So they see her as a different actress, as a different woman, as the film progresses. And they all just completely and utterly fall in love with her, and to the extent that they will actually kill themselves if they can't kind of get this girl, because she destroys their lives. So she lives as a recluse. Guy comes into her life, a handyman, a drifter. He comes into her life and starts to help around the house and stuff. Because he suffers, he suffers from an illness where he can't smell anything. So he is completely immune to her pheromones and her scent. So he doesn't fall in love with her. Except, of course, he does. But he falls in love with her because he falls in love with her.
Yes.
Kind of thing, as the film, rather than it being through her pheromones. It's a lovely, lovely idea. It's a lovely basic idea of the film. Unfortunately, they don't really go anywhere with it. I mean, that's
about the subplot.
But there is a subplot there that, you know, Guy isn't perhaps who you think he is, and there's other stuff going on. But the film kind of drifts through about an hour and a half. That's basically the idea. Men come and go. She can't go anywhere. She's trapped. He's slowly, slowly falling in love with her. It's a love story. I don't think there are any particular that I can think supernatural type effects in it. A guy hangs himself at one point, I suppose that's an effect, but there's nothing kind of remotely supernatural going on here. It's all kind of like science based,
except for the fact that they do punctuate those moments of the pheromones being released with a kind of siren type of music, don't they?
There is a kind of a siren very interesting type of music. It's a good film. As I say, it does drift. It's a little bit unsatisfying when you kind of get to the end and you think, oh, okay, yeah, I kind of saw that coming. Well, I did. You didn't. I think I did.
No, I did. I did. It wasn't.
But I think as an independent film goes, it's written and directed by Jesse Peyronel, who I've not heard of. So I don't actually know if he or she, Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, is that a man or a woman? I'm not sure. I've not done my research. I don't know. It's a lovely, beautifully made film. She directed it, or he directed it. It looks great. Great performances. Definitely worth seeking out and having a look at. It's something different. It's a different way of approaching the siren idea. I think you saw it too, didn't you, Robin?
I did, yes.
What were your feelings?
Absolutely on the same page as you. I thought it was an intriguing concept, fantastic idea. Now what are you going to do with it? And they don't really tell a story.
No.
Because the leading man is immune to all the to all of her powers. So I'm thinking, okay, so you've set her up, and now this guy, you know, is immune to her. So what's the story?
Mm.
And I was still kind of waiting at the end of it. It was inevitable that he would fall for her.
Yeah.
But I was thinking,
But it's nicely shot, isn't it? It's a very, very nice
looking film. Very nicely shot. It's basically like, you know, the cinematic equivalent of a Chinese meal. I wanted another one.
Yeah. I'd probably give it.
Obviously, I'm going to just chip in here because there is some evil characters that want to capture her that we've not even mentioned at all here.
I was trying not to give it away.
So. Well, there are, but they're a perfume company. Oh, so
I hear that music.
We're going to have to go.
I'm going to give that 6 out of 10.
I'm going to give it
over to Sam.
8. What do you think, Robin?
4.
Thank you, Robin, and thanks very much to Alex Lefchuk.
On that note,
Robin Pierce, thank you. Patricia
thank
H. Arsh, and David J. Heiss, say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, guys.
And I'm Sam Stone. Bye.